Will you pray with me? God, we pray this morning as we study what it means to be a good shepherd, a false shepherd, a true sheep. God, we pray that you would fill us with the mind of Jesus, the good shepherd, so that we can have thoughts, God, that are biblical and righteous and holy and good and pleasing unto you and even edifying to the flock of God as we live this life that you have called us to for your glory. God, we pray your blessing this morning upon the preaching and the teaching of your word. God, we pray in the light of this text, God, that you would always protect us from error, and God, that we would always teach and receive the teaching of your word with great humility and patience and love. For God, we know that you speak clearly to us through your word, and that is the word of Christ. God, we do pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 21 years ago, what were you doing 21 years ago? You know, we all have spiritual Ebenezers. Some of you were not even born 21 years ago. I guess I need to consider that. You were in the mind of God at that time. Amen. But some of you were around 21 years ago. What were you doing? Spiritual Ebenezers for all of us throughout our whole life, I'm sure. But during this time, in the fall of 1995, I was serving in my first ministry, official ministry, I guess you could say, at Aldelia Road Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I was the youth pastor there, and I was 20 years old, a young whippersnapper. And my pastor, David Allen, was about to take a vacation, and so he asked me if I would be willing to fill the pulpit in his absence. And so I agreed to do that, and I prayed and to think about what to preach on. And that's whenever I came to John chapter 10, and I gave him my text, and I gave him my outline, and I gave him some of my points and commentary, and he said, yes, go for it. And so I got his blessing. And so from there, I began to study and pray even further in John chapter 10. And that's when I pulled out the only commentary series that I had at that time. And that was J. Vernon McGee's commentary through the Bible. And if you know, I'm sure most of you are familiar with J. Vernon McGee, just his voice on the radio for years. And he has a commentary series over the whole Bible. And I think you can put his commentary into four volumes throughout the whole Bible. And so all I had was my Bible, the Holy Spirit, and this brother's pretty short commentary on John chapter 10. But what's so sweet is I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember it, and it's sweet. It's a sweet Ebenezer for me. And to be able to even sit under, most of y'all have no idea who David Allen is, but to be able to sit under David Allen's teaching and preaching for 5 years, he was the first expositor that I sat under. And in 5 years of being his youth pastor and serving alongside of him, we went through the book of Acts, we went through the book of Mark, we went through the book of Romans, and God just blessed during that time. And so I remember the first time that I came across John chapter 10. And so just a sweet, sweet passage for me, just because, not because of just what's in the text, but because of the memory that I have, even being one of the first sermons that I've ever preached in ministry. But in John 10, Jesus gives a parable of the good shepherd. It's a parable that once again highlights the eternal differences between Jesus himself and the Pharisees. Most of you have probably heard a pretty good textual sermon on John chapter 10, but you probably have not heard it preached actually correctly, fully. And so that's my endeavor today. I don't presume to have stand before you and say that I'm going to do this perfectly. But what you probably have not heard is that this text is all about shaming the Pharisees. this is what this is about. It's not just simply about the Good Shepherd, which we'll get to soon, but it's about shaming the Pharisees. It's about an illustration of true shepherds versus false shepherds who are thieves and robbers and strangers of the sheep. It's not only about the shepherd also, but it's also about the sheep and those whom the sheep will and will not follow. Jesus says that the sheep will only follow the voice of a shepherd, of the shepherd. Most of us here this morning probably do not have all that much knowledge about shepherding sheep. But it's amazing how loyal sheep can actually become to their shepherd. They know His voice. They know His tender care. They know His heart and His sincere love for the sheep. They move when He moves. They rest when He rests. Over time, there is so much trust and loyalty that is built up in the shepherd-sheep relationship that it actually turns into something quite remarkable. And this is the spiritual relationship that Jesus teaches about in John chapter 10. There's a real and true relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. But there is also a false, an untrue relationship that the thieves and robbers and strangers try to have with the sheep. Jesus says, the good shepherd's voice the sheep will follow, but the voice of the thief and the robber and the stranger, the sheep will not follow. Jesus will teach about the proper way of how the good shepherd should call his sheep and lead them out. It's a beautiful parable, and yet it's quite alarming at the same time. So if you would, open up your Bibles this morning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we'll look at the first five verses as I read through this. We'll be dealing with verses 1 through 10 this morning. But in verse 1 of John chapter 10, we read, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber." Now, these are the exact people that Brother Jason has already read to us out of Ezekiel. Jesus is now highlighting another group of false teachers, false shepherds. And he's saying to them, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. I've titled the sermon this morning, "I Am the Door of the Sheep." That's going to be key here pretty soon in the sermon text here. And our aim this morning is for us to realize that there is only one way to God, and that way is always going to be through Jesus. Amen? There's only one way to God, and that way is always going to be through Jesus. That is not going to change ever. And so the first thing I want us to see this morning is, in verses 1 through 6, is that the doorkeeper opens the door to the shepherd. The doorkeeper opens the door to the shepherd. Look at verse 1 again. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep.
to him the doorkeeper opens. Now, I want you to this morning to just be trying to picture in your mind what's going on here. Jesus once again starts off a teaching. He starts off a parable with the words, truly, truly. And you know by now that this is one of the strategies of teaching in order to really capture the audience's attention. By saying truly, truly, it is like Jesus is saying, what is about to be said is something of supreme importance, like your life depends upon it. And Jesus is speaking directly to the Pharisees at this point. And he's saying to these Pharisees, truly, truly, your life depends on what I am about to say. So Jesus is saying that you should listen very carefully. But you know what's interesting in verse 1 and how Jesus starts off verse 1? He starts off with a negative statement. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. You see, as we transition into this story in John 10, we are now ushered by Jesus into the context of the sheep world, of livestock. We are being told by Jesus that there is a fold of the sheep, also called a sheepfold. And there's this wrong way of getting into the fold. There's this wrong way of getting into the sheepfold. You see, a sheepfold was basically a large pen where many sheep were held each night. Most of the sheepfolds had a wall of at least about 4 feet high. At the end of the day, all of the village shepherds would bring their sheep to the sheepfold and retire them for the night. This is when another shepherd, who is known as the doorkeeper, would watch over everyone's sheep at night. The doorkeeper would sit and he would lay himself at the entrance of the sheepfold and actually become the door of the sheepfold so that the sheep could not get out or escape. So the doorkeeper would move away when a shepherd would come to call his sheep in the morning. So we have this sheepfold and it's filled at night with the sheep of several different shepherds. And Jesus starts off verse 1 by talking about the false shepherd and how the false shepherd does not enter by the door into the sheepfold. But he climbs up some other way because he actually is a thief and a robber of the sheep. Verse 2, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow. Now, I'm sure by now you're starting to get this image and this picture in your mind of all of these different sheep piled into the sheepfold with the doorkeeper laying across the entrance. It's nighttime and the sheep are resting, but quietly, there's someone who comes near to the back wall of the sheepfold. He is pretending to be a shepherd, but the truth is he is not going to the door, but trying to climb in some other way. He slowly starts to climb over the back wall of the sheepfold. And Jesus says that this man is a false shepherd. He is a thief and a robber. You with me? But I've got this question now. Who is the false shepherd? Who is this thief? Who is this robber? Who is this stranger of the sheep? Listen, by now, it should not come as a surprise to you that Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. They are the false shepherds. They are the thieves. They are the robbers. They are the strangers of the sheep. They are falsely playing the role of God's shepherds. J.C. Ryle says in his commentary, the very men who had just said in verse 41 of chapter 9, look back there, in chapter 9, verse 41, the very same men who had just said, we see, were denounced with holy boldness as thieves and robbers in John 10, 1. The Pharisees are asking Jesus if they are spiritually blind. And even in their question, they actually assert to Jesus that they are not blind, that they actually see. So Jesus opens up in John 10 with a parable to address the spiritual nature of the Pharisees. They are not true shepherds of the people of God. They are not. They are actually false shepherds who try and climb up some other way into the sheepfold rather than going through the door of the sheepfold. They are instead thieves and robbers of the sheep of God, because this is what thieves and robbers do. They climb up some other way into the fold to steal the sheep rather than enter through the door. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warns the people of false prophets. Listen to what he says in Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus says to the people, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The Apostle Paul, as he's about to leave the elders of the church of Ephesus on the beach there, if you remember in Acts chapter 20, Paul says to them, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Jesus is bent in the Gospels on making sure every one of His sheep are aware that there are false shepherds, false prophets who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They seek to steal, to kill, and destroy the sheep. And many of you have run into some of these people. Many of you have seen these people on TV. Many of you may even know some of these false shepherds personally. But look how Jesus continues in verses 2 and 3. He now talks about the positive side of what it means to be a shepherd. He tells them of the true shepherd and what the true shepherd actually does. You see, the true shepherd enters by the door. And he is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the true shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see, later on, Jesus will disclose to those who are listening to him right here that he is the door. There's only one right way for a shepherd to gather his sheep, and that is through the door, through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who gives blessing and favor upon those who are true shepherds. You are not a shepherd because of your heritage. You are not a shepherd because of your birthright. You are not a shepherd because of your theological knowledge. To be a true shepherd is not found in any other means other than through Jesus. As a matter of fact, you may even have pastors and elders among you who are less knowledgeable of God's Word than you are, but they have God's anointing on them. They have God's favor upon them. And they are God's men for you. It has nothing to do with your knowledge. It has nothing to do with your heritage. It has nothing to do with your birthright. It has everything to do with you going through Jesus Himself and having His favor and His power and His anointing on your life as a shepherd of God. Amen? That's what it's about. And Jesus is talking to these men and He's telling them, you're trying to get into the fold the wrong way. Wonder if you can think about how they might respond to that. You see, this is a very difficult thing today as well, as I'm sure in Jesus' day with false shepherds and false teachers. Men, and watch this, now women today, who rise up and claim this ministry for themselves are false shepherds. They are thieves and robbers of God's sheep. Those of you who like to watch preachers on TV, you better be careful. You better watch yourself in who you're listening to. Matter of fact, it would be a good thing if you're not familiar with some of these people to ask your elders or ask brothers and sisters in Christ about these people that are on TV. Because let me tell you, most of them are not legit. Right? Because, you know, the world does not want to hear legit shepherds. Those people tend to not make it on TV. It's no small thing for the church to protect herself from men who would climb up some other way into the fold rather than go through the door, than to go through Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who opens the door to the shepherds and allows His sheep to be their sheep. You get that? He is the one who opens the door to the shepherds and allows His sheep to hear their voice and to lead His sheep out. The true shepherd knows each sheep by name and calls them and leads them out. And we can quickly recognize in verse 3 that there is something special that happens in the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. The sheep that are in the sheepfold not only hear the voice of their shepherd, but the shepherd calls each sheep by name and leads them out. This is how personal the shepherd has become with his sheep. He personally names each sheep. He calls each sheep by name. They come to him at the door of the sheepfold. And as they come to him, the shepherd leads them out. He leads them out to pasture, to feed, and to drink. The sheep love their shepherd because he leads them out and he cares for them. This leading of the sheep is something remarkable. Jesus in verse 4, look at that, even discusses the level of commitment and sacrifice the shepherd will have for the sheep. He says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I want you to notice in verse 4, as the shepherd leads them, he's actually going before them. He's looking for wolves. He's looking for danger. He's looking for water. He's looking for pasture, green pasture. His life of leading the sheep is consumed with great care of them because he loves them. The teaching also in verse 4 that the shepherd puts forth all his own shows just how careful the shepherd is. Listen to this. He puts forth all his own. You know what that means? That means he leaves none behind. He has all of his sheep with him. And why do the sheep follow him? Because they know his voice. They recognize and know and are familiar with his voice. But Jesus in verse 5, look, also teaches us about how the opposite is also very true of the sheep. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. You see, this is what sheep do. When the shepherd comes and calls them with his voice, they come to him, he leads them out, and they follow him because they know his voice. When a stranger comes and calls them with his voice, they do not come. And as a matter of fact, they do just the opposite. They flee from him. They run from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Isn't this interesting? I mean, I thought it was interesting at this point in the sermon prep. When we consider the shepherd-sheep relationship, it is one of trust, familiarity, loyalty, caring, and knowing. But watch this. But sheep do not even come close to doing this with strangers who try and falsely play the role of a shepherd in their life. You know what they do? They flee. They actually run away from them. Most of you know, I'm not terribly an animal lover, but we have a dog next door that does not like me. And every time I go outside in the backyard, she barks at me. And when I get close to the fence, which is usually once or twice a week at least, and she's at me, barking, I'm trying to talk. Now, why are you barking like that? What you barking at? I'm your neighbor. Y'all would probably think I was strange. But that's exactly how I try to talk to her. I have no idea how to handle animals. I'm just trying to be nice. I'm trying to be lovely. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to introduce myself to her every time. It just does not work. It doesn't work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Of course, I know everybody who has animals, y'all think your animal is the most sweetest thing ever on the face of the earth. And I get that, except when they bark at me and bite me. This dog does not appreciate my voice. No matter how nice and how kind I am to this animal. And trust me, I don't yell at her. She barks at me. And I try to be kind to her and gentle. But guess what? She knows that my voice is not Trevor's voice. Now y'all know whose dog it is. She knows that that's not his voice. And she goes berserk. This is what we're talking about, very similar with the sheep-shepherd relationship. When they do not recognize the voice of the one who is calling them, they don't just look and... Jesus tells us that they flee. They run from the stranger. They flee from him. You see, the life of a shepherd was very common in Jesus' day. The people were very familiar with the sheepfold. They were very familiar with the doorkeeper. They were very familiar with how the sheep would follow the shepherd because they knew his voice. They were very familiar with thieves and robbers and strangers to the sheep. All of this shepherd-sheep relationship was very familiar to the people, even the people who weren't shepherds. But the Apostle John tells us something in verse 6. That I want you to see this morning. That this was meant to be a figure of speech from Jesus to the Pharisees. He's using the shepherd-sheep relationship as an illustration or an allegory about something spiritual. He's taking a real life, everyday occurrence and using it to teach them something about the spiritual world. And look at what John says in verse 6. But they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. How blind are these Pharisees who just told Jesus that they are able to see? How blind are these people? They not only profess this to Jesus, but Jesus teaches them a figure of speech that they cannot see and they cannot understand what he means. How embarrassing do you think this was to the Pharisees who were professing great things to Jesus, and then Jesus turns around, tells them a little story, and he stumps them with the story? How embarrassing do you think this was to the Pharisees who profess great knowledge, who profess great things to Jesus right there, and all to the people who might be listening in? They professing great things about their knowledge and about seeing spiritual things and not being blind, as Jesus just illustrated in John chapter 9. They cannot see. They cannot understand. Even some of you this morning who may have been years since you've looked at John chapter 10. You already know that this is something spiritual. So we're reminded why Jesus spoke in parables. When his disciples asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" In Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus answered the disciples' question on why he speaks in parables. Listen to this. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." You see, Jesus is teaching his disciples, "I teach in parables because I'm trying to keep the mysteries of the kingdom of God from certain people. I'm trying to keep certain people from understanding the mysteries of the kingdom. It has been disclosed to you, and you understand because I want to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to you. But to them, it's not granted." That ought to make you consider and ponder the sovereignty of God in all things. Jesus, the sovereign King of the universe, chooses to disclose the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to whomever he chooses to disclose them to. And to these Pharisees, they remain blind and ignorant to this parable. So John then tells us in verse 7 that Jesus unpacks what he means to them. And yet many of them still remain in darkness. But nevertheless, look at verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door." And the people of God would say what? Amen. He says, "I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Once again, Jesus grabs their attention with "truly, truly." He then goes on to explain this figure of speech, this allegory. He tells them that he is the door of the sheep. He is the one where both sheep and shepherd must pass through in order to enter the sheepfold. The sheepfold, now we're talking spiritually here, okay? You with me? Talking about spiritual truth now. The sheepfold is God's fold. It represents the church of God. It represents the people, His sheep, His children. J.C. Ryle comments on Jesus' teaching here. He says, "Every single sheep must enter through Jesus if he would have God's flock. Every teacher who wishes to be a shepherd over God's flock must enter his office looking to Jesus. There is only one way into the fold of God, into the family of God, and that is through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. There is only one way to become a shepherd of God's people, and that too is through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. Anyone who tries to enter the fold of God some other way, any other way, is a robber and a thief, and they are false shepherds and are not of this fold. Jesus is speaking to these men. And he is saying this very clearly to them. And now he goes on to verse 8. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Here Jesus is referring to the false shepherds, the false teachers of Israel. He's not talking about the prophets and the shepherds that came before him years ago, like Moses and Joshua and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and many others. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus is staring down and he's looking into the very eyes of those men who have come before him, who are the thieves and robbers that are trying desperately right now in his ministry to climb into the fold of God some other way than going through the door. But what's very interesting to me is that Jesus also teaches in verse 8, but the sheep did not hear them. And if they did not hear them, what does that mean? They did not follow them. So what is Jesus teaching here about the sheep and these false shepherds? He's reiterating what he's already said in verse 5. A stranger, they simply will not follow. And one comment said, there is a spiritual instinct. Listen to this. There is a spiritual instinct in most true believers which generally enables them to distinguish between true and false teaching. You believe that? Please say amen. There is something that you have, and I'll get to the something in a minute. There is something that you have abiding within you. The true sheep, the true people of God. You have something abiding in you that you are able to discern and distinguish between what is true and what is false. They simply will not follow. And Jesus says, they do not hear. This is an amazing truth that Jesus is teaching here. We know that the whole of Scripture teaches us that those who are truly born again have as a deposit and seal from God the Holy Spirit abiding in us. He guides us, He quickens us, He teaches us, He counsels us. So for those who have the Holy Spirit within them, there is given to us this spiritual instinct that may at times be unexplainable. Like you may be listening to something, you may be reading something, you may be watching someone on TV, and there's just something about what they're saying, what you're reading, that's just not right. You may not even be able to articulate why it's wrong. But you just know in yourself, in your mind, and in your heart that there's just something not right about what is being said and what is being communicated. Right? This is what Jesus is saying. You know, because that makes it more powerful, right? Amen. Jesus is saying this. He is saying, All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. If what Jesus is saying is true, and I know you believe what he says is true, then the true sheep of God will not follow false shepherds. They will simply flee from them because false shepherds are thieves and robbers and strangers. And Jesus tells us very clearly that sheep flee from those whom they do not know their voice. So I want you to think about this implication right here. Think about this implication of what Jesus is saying. He's saying this to these false shepherds. Jesus is telling these Pharisees to their faces that they do not have the true sheep of Israel following them. Jesus is telling them that they do not have God's people following them at all. The remnant of true believers, watch this, have fled from them, have fled from their teaching, have fled from their shepherding, and are now following after Jesus himself. Man! What do you think this conversation's like with these Pharisees? He is telling them to their faces that they may have people following them, but it is not the sheep of God. It is not the people of Israel. It is not the true believers of Christ, the true believers of God and the Messiah. And not only has he said that to him, but he said the true sheep flee from them. And where did the true sheep go? They're following after Jesus wherever he is right now. Wherever he goes, they go. Wherever he rests, they rest. Wherever he's eating, they're eating. You remember the 3,000 and the 5,000, right? I don't say this at all to put attention on me, but have you ever heard this in John 10? You see, in John 10, this is all most people just want to teach a nice moral story about sheep and shepherds and how lovely that relationship is. But I want you to know, Jesus is laying down the path to the cross. And now Jesus drops this spiritual revelation upon them in verse 9. If that wasn't enough, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. One pastor says this verse is one of those wide and broad, grand statements which our Lord sometimes makes, stretching far beyond the subject of which he is immediately speaking. He says, it's like Jesus right here is saying, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the way. And now he's saying, I am the door. And you guys are jumping the fence in the back trying to get into the fold of God. I am the one that you have to go through in order to be in God's fold, in God's family, in order to get the true sheep of Israel, in order to get the true sheep of God's people. You must go through me. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Who does this man make himself out to be? This pastor goes on and says the primary meaning is, I am he through whom and by whom alone true pastors must enter the church. All such pastors entering by me shall find themselves at home in the fold and enjoy the confidence of my flock and find food for the souls of my sheep, their hearers. He said the second meaning is, I am the way of access to God. All who come to the Father by me, whether pastors or hearers, shall find through me safety and liberty and possess continual food for their souls. Because that's what shepherds do. Shepherds take the people, they take the sheep, and they take them out and they let them feed. They get them water. Jesus says at the end of verse 9, and will go in and out and find pasture. You see, this going in and out, finding pasture, is an expression meant to talk about the sweet communion that both shepherds and sheep have with Jesus. It is that sweet communion of coming before Jesus each morning, each noon, each evening, each night, finding spiritual nourishment for your souls. It is having your soul quenched with the bread of life and the fountain of living water, and you thirst no more. It is this going in and going out with Jesus that is set as an expression of the sheep's true longing in their lives. We long to be with Him at home in the fold of God, resting in His care. And we long to be with Jesus in the green pastures, feeding on the spiritual food that God, the Good Shepherd, leads us to each and every day. This is why you testify every day of what you read in God's Word. Because you are feasting. You are feasting of the bread of life. You're drinking in of the fountain of the living water. And guess what? That fountain just explodes every day. And you talk about the things of God. You talk about your communion with Jesus. You talk about how sweet the shepherd is whenever you are going through times of trial. And you are going through times and seasons of your life of heartache. And you testify of how sweet the shepherd is for you. Because you know His gentle touch. You know His gentle voice. You know how He cares for you. And He provides for you. This is what the going in and going out. When you go through Jesus and you are saved, you go in and out. And you find green pasture. And you find good things from your shepherd. Amen. This is what happens to the true sheep of Israel. It is this entering through Jesus where we are saved, he says. We are made right with God because we have entered the correct way into the fold of God. Going through Jesus to God, we are saved from His wrath, forgiven of our sin, and justified of our unrighteousness. As we pass through Jesus, we are also now hidden in Him. Amen? We are hidden in Him when we pass through Him, the door. We are clothed in His righteousness. We are clothed in His love. We are clothed in His mercy. And Jesus says, you're saved. You're safe. You're safe. You're safe. As a true sheep of the Good Shepherd, you have come to know His voice. Amen? Do you know His voice? Do you know? And His voice is the sweetest voice in your ears. You have come to know that He is kind and compassionate. He is merciful and forgiving. He is gracious and full of blessing. He is worthy and full of strength and power to sustain all of your life in Him. You know His voice. You know it intimately. And you are slowly becoming more acquainted with all of His ways. You know His voice, and His voice you follow, and He calls you out by name, and He leads you out. He leads you. This is the good shepherd and sheep relationship. But sadly, Jesus says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The sad truth is, these Pharisees are simply acting like their father, the devil. He is the greater thief. He is the greater murderer. He is the greater destroyer. They are simply pawns of the devil acting out the desires of their father. The truth is, the false shepherds, they steal, they kill, and destroy the sheep of God. The good shepherd, speaking to the false shepherds, is the one that allows his very life to be taken away and killed and destroyed on behalf of the sheep. You see, the false shepherds, they are the ones who kill. The true shepherds are the ones who are killed and lay down their life for the sheep. You see, Jesus came to give up His life so that through His life the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Through His life we are given an abundant and eternal life. This is what the good shepherd does for the sheep of God. It is the very opposite of what the false shepherds seek to do with the sheep of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a true sheep of God? Are you a true sheep? Are you His child? Are you one of His people in the fold, in the family of God? The only way to be in God's fold, in His family, is to go through His Son, Jesus Christ, the door. Jesus is the door to God's family. Jesus is the door to God's fold. The way you go through the door is to believe in Jesus. You must believe in who Jesus is. He is God, the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You must believe in what Jesus has done. He was killed on a bloody Roman cross. He was taken off that cross and buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, He was raised from the dead. And I want you to know this morning that we serve a risen Savior. This is what Jesus has done for you. Do you believe in Him and who He is? And do you believe in what He has done for you? The Bible tells us that you must believe and you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. You will be saved from God's wrath upon your sin. You will be given new life in Jesus Christ. You will have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in you and showing you wonderful things about the Good Shepherd. That's what the Holy Spirit does in you. He points you. He aims you to the Good Shepherd. And you know His voice. And He leads you, He leads you, He leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what the Good Shepherd does. Will you believe today in the Good Shepherd? Will you believe in the Shepherd who has come to give you life and life abundantly? Will you believe in Him today? What about to those of you who have believed? Do you see Him as good still? Do you still see Him as the good shepherd who has laid down His life for you? Do you still find His voice to be sweet? Do you still see Him
as good? Do you still believe in Him as good? And do you savor Him as good? The good shepherd who lays down His life for you. Amen. Let's pray. God, we know that there are several applications to this passage of Scripture. And the foremost is, Father, we know that You are putting forth Your Son before us so that we could see that He is indeed good and that He is righteous. And so, Father, I pray for the people of God, the sheep this morning, God, that You would help us to see, help us to believe and savor continually Jesus as the Good Shepherd. God, help us to love the sound of His voice. God, we know that it is sweet. Father, help us to continue to believe and to savor Jesus and the glory of His goodness as our shepherd. And Father, we also know that there's an application to those of us who teach and those of us who shepherd, that we would remain true to Your word, true to the teachings, the doctrines of Scripture, God. Help us to be faithful. Guard us from error. Guard us from pride and contempt before You. God, we pray that You would always keep us humble and submissive to Your word. And God, we pray for those who are outside the fold this morning. God, we pray that You would guide them and direct them to the door to Jesus, and that the doorkeeper would open up the fold and that they would enter in through belief in Jesus Christ. God, help them to believe today. Help them to repent. Help them to have faith in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is the door to their coming in and going out and finding green pasture. God, help them to enjoy the Good Shepherd as we enjoy the Good Shepherd. God, we thank You for Your word today in John chapter 10. We pray Your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.